So, the title of the message is, never mind, there's no slide up there. The title of the message today is The Powerful Privilege of Prayer. And now our focus text will be on, oh, do I need to dismiss the kids? Oh, little kids are all dismissed. Back to the grown-ups. So today we're going to be talking about prayer. Now, our focus text will be Matthew chapter 6 in the Lord's Prayer, but in thinking about what prayer is, why we pray, what is prayer, how do we go about it, I realize that there's a lot of preliminary work that needs to be done before we actually get to Matthew 6. So we will be coming to Matthew 6 really at the end of the sermon today. So I know all of you guys are here in church today, but if you guys have grown up in church or have been coming to church for a short time, you'll realize one thing becomes evident very quickly, and that is prayer is very important. It's sprinkled throughout our church services. We do it before meals, and we say it's one of the most important things of the Christian life. In fact, Martin Luther once said, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. With this obvious significance placed on prayer, have you ever stopped to consider why we pray or what prayer actually is? Does it work, or is this just a mere show of piety? And if you're like me, sometimes these questions can kind of plague your mind. Prayer is definitely one of the areas that I really struggle in, and this message is as much preached to me as I hope it moves you guys. And with that being said, we have to turn to Scripture and Scripture alone to find our answers. Now, before we go in talking about why, what, and how, really we need to know what prayer is. So we're all on the same page as far as what terms we're using, and then also debunking some common myths surrounding prayer in our culture today. First, let's define our term. One of my favorite pastors, John Piper, puts it well when he explained it in one of his messages. He said that prayer is intentionally conveying a message to God. Now, if you don't know very much about John Piper, he's kind of a grammar Nazi. So he was very, very, very insistent on this wording. He decided on each of these words in a very particular way. And I was kind of like, okay, good for you. But as he went and explained more, I was like, oh, this is really good, and this is a really, really good definition. He said that it is first intentional because we're always having a communication with God. God is all-knowing. He sees our hearts. He sees our minds. We always have this ongoing monologue with God, at least, because God knows everything about us. But prayer is this special time that we're setting aside to come before the throne of God and make petitions before Him. It's intentional. Secondly, it is conveying a message because not all prayers are spoken. I'm sure we've all had moments when we have been either in anguish or in despair and you don't know what to say. The God, I just don't know. It hurts so much. I just don't know what to say right now. And we can take refuge in Romans 8, 26 through 28. It says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who loves Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For when we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf." That is something to take refuge in. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes you just kind of sit there and you just kind of babble. You're like, God, I'm sorry. I hope you kind of got the gist of what I had to say. But the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, indwells us, intercedes on our behalf before the throne of God. Now, let's do some debunking. Because I started doing some searches, because I'm a I'm a good 22-year-old, right? I went on Google and on YouTube to do some searches, and I found that our culture as a whole, there's a lot of Buddhist prayers out there, and then there's a lot of kind of like how-to prayers, like, hey, you want to get rich? Pray this, and then God will answer you. Hey, you want kids? Pray this, then God will answer you. Hey, you want to get married because you don't want to be single anymore? Pray this, and then all of a sudden, poof, you're married, and you're like, where did this ring come from? And it was actually kind of like appalling and really, really sad, actually. And if this is the cultural air that we're all breathing, we have to be on guard and be very careful that these thoughts and beliefs don't start invading our own minds and beliefs. So the first one, prayer is not a ritual to perform, but a relationship to cultivate. There are two sides to every coin, and so is with the ritualization of prayer. There's two extremes. You have flamboyant theater, or you have cold, dead religion. And just so you guys know, God hates them both equally. He hates them. Look at the prophets, and it becomes evident that God absolutely hates it when we make communicating with him something strictly religious. In fact, we can look at the very beginning of our text today, Matthew chapter 6, and it says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So it is easy to see that God despises the selfishness and pride in this show. It's not about God or your relationship with him in this situation, but instead, me, me, me. Look at me. I can pray in my best Elizabethan English, right? You brought out all of these and thous, or you have this silver tongue, and it just sounds poetic when you speak. Now, if you do, there's nothing wrong with that. You can pray in Elizabethan English if that's just what comes out when you pray. I don't. So sometimes when you hear people, you try, and you're like, well, that just sounded really painful. But it's not about the show. It's about your heart. Because this may come as a shock to you, but nothing in this life or in the next is about you or me. Any and everything has been, is, and will be about God and his glory, because he alone is worthy. Now, let's flip to the other side of this coin, and then you have just cold, dead religion. Praying just because that's just what I was raised to do, right? We grew up in America. It's a Christianized nation, kind of for the most part. We just kind of pray. Like, we do it before sports, we do it before meals. It's just kind of a thing we do. Now, go to Isaiah chapter 1, and the people were kind of doing similar things there as well. God actually says, stop bringing your meaningless offerings. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. God hates the fact that the people are just going through the motions religiously and at the same time just living however they please. There's no heart change. It's just mere outward conformity. God says he is literally ignoring their pleas and their prayers because of how they are living. They are using God, not loving him. God doesn't want our words, but our hearts. Therefore, prayer as a mere act of religious duty is not what God desires at all. The other common and egregious offense in using prayer is using it as a charm to get what you want. God is not and never will be a cosmic vending machine when you put in your special prayer and out comes what you want. He's not a genie in a lamp. God is God, and we cannot manipulate him. In fact, he lets us know that in Psalms 115, verse 3. It says, our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. The arrogance to think that we can control God or know better than him is actually astounding. Look at Job, and you will see very quickly that we know very little God comes to Job, as I know a lot of our high schoolers like to quote, and he's like, "Who darkens my counsel?" It's one of our high schoolers' favorite parts when they went through Job. We know very little about the world. We still know very little about God. He is infinite. Our finite minds cannot comprehend him. God knows and directs everything for the ultimate good and for his glory alone. While it's painful and uncomfortable and infuriating at times, however things shake out, whether hell or high water or abundant blessing, God is God and we are not. Love him for who he is, not for what he can offer, because he is worthy of our praise and adoration simply for who he is. Now, why do we pray? Why am I supposed to do this? Because if you have no reason, you have no motivation. And I'm just standing up here talking to you for literally no reason. I don't know why you're sitting here. If prayer is important, why do we do it? Well, I'll give you the classic parent answer, because. Just because. You're told to. It's the easiest of all answers, but in all seriousness, we are instructed to pray, and that in and of itself should be reason enough for us to want to pray. I'll list off a few different verses for you. Ephesians 6:18, Romans 12:12, and 1 Thessalonians 5:17 all assume and encourage believers to pray constantly and continually at that. So if the Bible is assuming we should be praying and is encouraging us to keep praying, we should probably pray. Number two is summed up in another John Piper quote. He says, "Prayer is a staggeringly awesome privilege." Think about it. Oops, sorry. Think about it, though, honestly. We are given the privilege of coming before and communicating with the Almighty, Holy, Triune, Creator of heaven and earth, who was and is and forever will be, the one who said, "Even though you sinned and you hate me and you're rebellious, I love you enough that I want to restore this relationship. I will come, be born of a virgin. I will live this perfect sinless life. I will conquer death and the grave. And you know what? I'm coming back for you. I will make every sad thing untrue." And we have the honor to talk to him. Why don't we use it? It should leave us in awe, because we are nothing but dust. That is why we should pray. And then lastly, but certainly not least, prayer is world-changing. If you look at James chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, it says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. It explains that in all times and for all reasons we should pray, and that the prayer of a righteous person has great power. Look at Elijah. He prayed, the rain stopped. He prayed again, and then it rained. Prayer is world-changing, guys. This is a powerful weapon that we have, both for our good and against the forces of darkness. This powerful story illustrates that prayer accomplishes big things through regular people like me and you. So don't stop. Keep praying. God hears, and he always gives an answer. Okay, so we got a lot of the preliminary information out of the way. So if you're like me, I kind of tend to sit there in the, even in lectures in school and stuff. And I'm like, so what is it and how do I do it? Like, just give me what I need and then let me run with it. So here's your answer. Prayer is real, relational, and powerful. And then we'll expand on these points. Prayer is real. It is a real thing. It is not just something we do. It's not just pretty words. It's not poems. Prayer is real, communicating with a real God that really loves us and wants real relationship with us. And he desires to bless his people. And he is also really, really powerful. Matthew 7 explains, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" 1 John 5:14 and 15 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." This expresses these things powerfully. God of the universe listens to us, and he longs to lavish blessings on us according to his will. Prayer is real. Prayer is also powerful. It changes people, and it can change the world. Circling back to James 5, where we heard about Elijah praying, and then there was drought, and then Elijah praying again, and then there was rain, we can see and remember that there is potency within prayer. We can pray expectantly, knowing that God can and will answer according to his own perfect plan. Lives change, people change, and nations change through prayer. And again, as the scripture says, the prayer of a righteous man has great power, and it produces wonderful results. Lastly, prayer is relational. The fact that we have this staggeringly awesome privilege should not be taken lightly. God wants relationship with you. He wants relationship with me. He wants relationship with Banner Church as a whole. He wants relationship with Christians as a whole. That's why he sacrificed himself. The love and devotion that we feel toward him should by far outweigh the feelings we have for our spouse, our best friend, or our parents. So let me ask you this. Do you have a relationship with God? Do you cultivate it, and do you deepen it? Do you spend just as much, if not probably more time as you should, with God than as you do with just your buddies because you love hanging out with them? You should love being in the presence of God and being able to communicate with him. So transitioning now into our actual text today, Matthew chapter 6, this, how do we go about praying? Okay, we know what it is. We know why we should do it. How do I pray? How do we go about praying? And Jesus gives us the example starting in verse 9. It says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So I feel like this prayer, we can pull 4 points out of this. First one being, it's God-centered. This entire prayer focuses on God and his will, not mine. I'm not sitting there praying, "God, let my will be done on earth as it is in heaven." No, it is thy will be done. It is bowing down before this holy triune being in the heavenly courtroom. And that is what prayer is all about. It's all about God. Prayer never has and never will be about you or me. All about God. It's setting aside our own pride and ambitions. It's difficult, but it's important for a healthy prayer life. Number two, we are to ask God for things. There's actually nothing wrong with that. God wants us to ask him for things. Ask him for daily provisions. Ask him for strength. Ask him for courage. On and on and on the list goes. We are to ask God for things because, you know what? God loves blessing his people, and he loves answering prayers. A quote I really like from Martin Luther is, "Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his willingness." Our God is not stingy. He loves us. He lavishes blessings on us. And all of this is done in accordance with his perfect plan because, as A.W. Tozer puts it, God answers prayers not because we're good. It's not because I'm good, but because he is. He is good. God is faithful and true, and this we can count on. If we ask, we shall receive in accordance with his will and according to his plan. Now, take a little side note here. We might not always like the answer. In fact, we might not like it in the moment. We might not really like it ever. But ultimately, it is for our ultimate good and for his ultimate purposes and to bring him glory. God answers. Thirdly, we are to repent, because even though we are sinners saved by grace, we are still saints who sin sometimes. And sometimes, my sometimes is a lot of times, and it's every day. So we need to remember to repent and turn back to God throughout the day. God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have done that. And then sometimes, you're right, you hit a blind spot, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, you know, 6 months go by, and you're like, oh my gosh, look at the way I've been living. Look at the way I've been behaving. God, I am so sorry. I fall on my knees before you. I turn away from this, and I just want to turn to you and cling to you. Now, coupled along with this, though, is also forgiveness of others. Now, this is where the rubber really hits the road, because it's really easy to be like, oh, shoot, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. It's different when you're the person forgiving, and then you're like, really? Really? You want me to forgive you for that? Do you know how that made me feel? Do you know really the impact of your actions or your words? But I want to remind you of who we all were before Christ, our BC days, right? Before Christ, where we were rebels and we hated God and we did everything we could to suppress the truth and unrighteousness, as Romans 1 says. We were anti-God. But then, Jesus, he came and died. He rose again to save you and to save me. Now I pray that we are all able to be an ounce as merciful and forgiving as God is to others. And then lastly, prayer is genuine. Be genuine. God wants our hearts, our minds, and our lives, not just our words. God is also big enough to handle all of your emotions. That's why he gave them to us. So read through the Psalms, and you'll see David. You'll see him at his highest heights, and you'll see him in his lowest lows, and you'll see him everywhere in between. Pray when you're mad. Pray when you're confused. Pray when you're grieving, and pray when you're overjoyed. Prayer should be bringing us closer to God. God can handle all of these emotions. He can help you work through them. He can help give you the peace and strength to deal with them. Pray expectantly and pray honestly. Be honest in your prayers with God. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I have angry prayers with God. Be like, look, God, okay, I'm just going to be honest. I'm really kind of mad at you actually right now. And I know that's like, I feel like that's kind of wrong, but I'm just being honest. Or God, this hurts so bad right now, and I can't hardly get my words out because of how many tears are coming out. Or God, I can't believe that you allowed this to happen. I am so excited. Thank you for giving me my first child. Thank you for giving me my 11th child. Thank you that I was able to move into this house. Thank you so much for this job. Thank you so much that I got into this school. Thank you that I got this grade. Fill in the blanks. God wants all of our emotions and constant, constant prayer and communication with him. So as we close the service today, I thought it would be cool if we kind of all as a group prayed through the Lord's Prayer. But I'm going to kind of expand on some of the points a little bit for like daily provisions, or like we can have examples of those kinds of things. Let's pray together through the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God, we pray that your name would be revered and lifted high through all the nations, and especially here in Banner today. God, we pray that your kingdom come and that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, we can't wait for you to come back. We eagerly anticipate that day. Give us this day our daily bread. God, please give us our daily provisions. Let us be able to eat. Let us be able to pay our bills. Give us the courage, strength, comfort, hope, and peace to make it through today. And God, forgive us of our debts. God, I pray and ask forgiveness for my sins. I pray for the congregation that you will forgive their sins. I pray over our nation that you will forgive the sins of our nation. And God, also help us to be merciful and forgiving to others. And Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God, help us to have the strength. And God, help us to keep our eyes on you and to turn to you in these situations. And we pray all of these things in your amazingly awesome name. Amen.